Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're talking to Rob about the emotional side and the psychological side.
And Mike, I just got it. We're blowing up social media. They say this is the funniest show we've ever done.
He hands me just the bar. And I look at the bar.
So he hands you a pipe. Yeah.
That's sitting on his little platforms that he has, so I don't have to get on the ground. Because he's humoring me as an elderly man who's trying to get himself back into some kind of physical condition. And he hands me the bar. He said, okay, we're going to start with this. And I looked at him, and I looked at the bar, and I looked back up at him. I said, for curls? He goes, yeah. And I looked at him. I said, really? Really? What's your total weight loss now?
65 pounds this morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that's like when you went on that program that we got paid for.
But here's what I hate. How can you lose 65 pounds and still be fat? I hate it.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All day long, I've had this song ringing in my head, and you might remember it, Rob. It was a Cinco de Mayo.
It was a commercial.
Was it Corona?
It might have been like Rotel Tomatoes or something. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from Hannibal, Missouri to Talladega, Alabama. Brantford, Florida. Aiken, South Carolina. Corinth, Greece. And the Canary Islands in Macronesia.
Yeah, they love to tweet there.
I love it. Welcome to the show. Oscar's not here. He had to reschedule in Charleston, and they're doing a shoot down there. So,
yes.
Or a taping of some kind. Who knows what he's doing? Do we really know?
I know that it's monkey business.
Pony, do you know anything about what they're doing in Charleston at all?
No. The only thing I know about Charleston is that we used to play that commercial way back in the day, the Charleston Races and Slots commercial.
That's Charleston. All I know.
God. And it's a totally different Charleston.
It's but not even
the same town, you yeah. moron.
Doesn't matter. They're close enough.
They're not close enough. Charlestown.
Doesn't matter.
That sums it up right there. I got the jelly arms today.
Okay, but how are your legs?
Legs. We didn't do a leg workout today.
But
we
did your legs bounce back from yesterday? Because you had
they're
the jelly
still
legs
sore.
Yesterday.
They're still yeah. sore. But the thing about it is, I don't know if anybody's been following the show, but I have to, and we'll get right to Rob because I want to have. Take this opportunity with the mean girl not on the show to really have a nice conversation with Rob.
Okay.
A father-son conversation with Rob. But as far as my little workout thing, he does these exercises.
Right.
And every single time I'm with this guy, my trainer, Tim makes me work muscle groups that feel brand new, like they've never been worked before. And I realize, well, of course, that's feeling brand new because it's been years and years and years.
Since you've got that Cinco de Mayo song, now I've got, it's Tim.
What you gonna do about Tim? I was, so at this point, I'm very aware of my limitations. I'm very aware of the fact that when I'm in the gym, if I was in a Gold's Gym or something like that, or
yes.
I would be horribly embarrassed because it's not. I just don't.
If you went
I don't
to
have
Vic
the
Tanny.
Strength, I don't have the strength at all. And so the ultimate today was he had me working these little dumbbells for doing curls.
Okay.
And for anybody, everybody's done curls once or twice in their life. I mean, you
sure.
know. What there you can do them with dumbbells or you can do them with a barbell.
Yeah.
And so he brings out the bar and walks it over to, and he laughs at my shtick, which is really
that's got to be encouraging.
I play the role of the curmudgeon
yeah.
really well because it's not far from my real personality. And he hands me just the bar. and I look at the bar.
So he hands you a pipe. Yeah.
That's sitting on his little platforms that he has, so I don't have to get on the ground, because he's humoring me as an elderly man who's trying to get himself back into some kind of physical condition. And he hands me the bar. He said, okay, we're going to start with this. And I looked at him, and I looked at the bar, and I looked back up on him. I said, for curls? He goes, yeah. And I looked at him. I said, really? Really? I said, I know that I'm weak in my legs, and I'm weak in my shoulders, and I'm weak in my core, but I can lift more than this. He said, oh, okay, all right.
Oh, okay, and Mr. I don't Big know, Shot.
I don't know if he's playing a game or what, but he put the little barbell on there, and it was just a different enterprise when I was lifting the weight, because I figured if another human being were to come in, and there's a lot going on there. There's right. nutrition counseling. There's food preparation. There's a lot going on in this little business. And if somebody come in, I was thinking about that because I'm very, I'm very self-conscious when I'm working
now,
out.
This may shock you, but yeah. I've never done any strength training.
Shocker. I'm so totally shocked.
I know. I mean, it's funny. It's why people
have you
listen
ever,
to this.
You've never lifted a weight?
No, I've done like... Like we did a thing.
Yeah, it's always been radio related.
No,
you've done aerobic stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean that's.
But you have never
like
lifted.
When I was at my thinnest, I was way into the elliptical at a gym, and I could do that for forever. But
that's the ladies' machine. Sorry, well, ladies, I'm so sorry about. No, hey, I swear to God, if my nutrition person heard that, she'll kick my ass, because she could kick my ass.
But so I never stayed thin enough by mixing cardio and diet. I've never stayed thin enough to have to focus on strength training. So when you do these curls, are you using one bar or?
Well, the first time, as I told you, I used dumbbells.
Right, okay, dumbbells, and how much were they weighted?
And
at?
I know you think that the only thing you think is that they're lollipops, but they are actual. I don't know what the weight was. I think 20 a dumbbell.
That's a lot.
So, no, it's
no, to it's curl not. It up. Don't you think for repetitive stuff?
No. I mean, I don't think it is.
That's like 20 boxes, know. Mike. That's like 20 boxes of butter.
He's rolling today, Pony. He is rolling today. No.
But I have to imagine, even if you say 20 is not a lot for a curl, and that's one arm doing 20 pounds, I have to imagine the, say, 10th one is a lot harder than the first one.
If you were not infirmed, I would work you through a couple of simple exercises without weight that I've done that surprised me with their degree of difficulty. And this is the same muscle group that when I've done this in the past has always surprised me, and that is the shoulders. The shoulders that I think, I don't think about it. I figure I play golf. I'm using my shoulders when I play golf. No. He starts me out by doing circles like this.
Oh, it's tough.
And it's not tough at the beginning.
But it gets tough is what I mean.
It rapidly becomes tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you feel like you feel like an invalid when you're doing this, because it is just so, it burns so quickly. And then, but then I get through it and I'm very satisfied and I'm happy. And
I'm
very satisfied with you. So anyway, and enough with all that. I have wanted to do this, and I figured I would take this opportunity that it's just the two of us today.
Yeah.
To talk about you. Let me set this up by saying, if you haven't been listening, Rob has been through some real health stuff, and if you've been listening, you know what it is, that he's got some liver function issues that are very, very, very serious, and this started over a month ago. Where Rob left work and Rob went into the hospital, and it was determined rather quickly that Rob had some serious issues with his internal organs, specifically his liver. And we talked about everything that Rob had been through. Rob is still on this journey and is dealing with this issue and seeing hopefully the right people, because he's got he's got some great doctors that he's working with, and it's been it's been something else. We've gone through a lot of medical reports with you where, fortunately, thank God for whoever you pray to, that we've gotten good news more than bad news.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Ever since the very beginning when...
I got an update today, as a matter of fact. Just brief, but great.
Well, let's get that, and then I'd like to just walk through...
I'm an open book.
...the whole deal with you.
Okay,
I really would.
So I got a text from my doctor today, and we remember we were waiting on the last panel of blood scores.
You had a lot of blood work last week.
Which included a test for hemochromatosis, which is too much iron in the body, something my mom has.
Right.
And so I'm genetically predisposed to it. He ran three panels, and there are some factors, but nothing that points to hemochromatosis. So I am not... at risk for it. I don't have it now, but
which
here's the best part.
Which would complicate anything to do with the liver, right?
Yes, but here's the best thing, that effective today, I can start taking iron when I take my pills in the morning, which is going to really help with the anemia. I'd sort of bottomed out and stayed steady with my hemoglobin around 9, 8, or 10, which is not great. It's not unsafe, but it's not
so
great.
So this is gonna help you feel better.
Yes, yes. I'm so excited that after the show today, I get to go to the pharmacist and buy some iron. And we joked about it yesterday, but yeah. I mean, like just the iron,
you
just
get a bar of it.
Yeah, it's a Krugerrands, but little guys. No, but just
iron.
Just the little iron tablets that really sparks your body to make the blood and hopefully go from 9, 10 up to closer to 14, which is where most people are. And I've been fighting sort of a lack of energy and...
it's like the old days. I remember the old commercials. Geritol for iron poor blood.
Iron poor blood. Yeah, you feel rotten. Now, when I started walking daily about probably 2.5-3 weeks ago, it was a project to do. I could do maybe 15-20 minutes. Today I did an hour 15.
You were completely gassed.
Oh, I just couldn't do it. I was so scared that I was really just walking within about 100 yards to my house, because I said, when I conk out, I've got to get home. But I've been pushing and pushing. And so today I did an hour 15 with some hills and inclines. And so I'm feeling better that way. But a lot of times after you take a walk, you feel like, yeah, energized. I just feel beat up because I just don't have the energy to do it. But I've been pushing through. And this was really great news I got today. I'm excited about that because I'm still awaiting the actual liver specialist, which will determine the amount of damage that I've done, which is technically scarring, which is what you hear, cirrhosis of the liver. That's scarring of the liver. And so I need to know where that's at. But other things at play are pointing positively, and we're making progress. And
that,
so I'm.
That's
it delights me. It delights
great,
me.
Great, great news. We've gotten medical reports all along. You know, it's a strange feeling to, it's almost like I would feel probably when one of my kids got sick, because I never put it in any kind of perspective that, you know, you're the one that's going to be, in dire straits health-wise. I just never thought of it in that term. So it was out of left field. And I wanted to just go through the whole scenario with you. So going back to, obviously, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Let's start at the beginning.
All right.
You and I would be, I would consider me more of a heavy drinker than you back in the day, probably.
Sure.
By a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it and I said, well, yeah, but you remember me, I wouldn't be capable of two nights in a row.
Yeah,
or
you're
maybe
not a-
even two nights or one night and then even the next weekend.
Yeah.
Because it would just bang me up so much.
You would binge. You would binge hard. I was more of a...
From my generation. That's my generation that did that. I thought it was
ritualistic
your generation too.
I was a ritualistic drinker. That's, you know, that's how I was. And I even talked to my doctor about it. He says, you don't show signs of being an alcoholic. You just had a habit. And he says, I don't think you're going to need any sort of... counseling or anything beyond that, unless you think you do, because by the time I saw him, I had been dry for 3 weeks, and to this day, I don't miss it.
Well, I mean, that to me, and I guess because innately I know you so well, I just think that I never even thought about it. I don't think about it. So one part of all of this I don't think about is your ability to do that. And I don't know whether I'm, God, I think sometimes, am I enabling by saying this publicly, or I don't think I am. I don't think about that part. I think that part has, in a way, the ship has sailed. You know what it is. What I want to go back to is the beginnings of this, because you've got a better memory. I always call you the memory of the show.
Yeah.
And there were so, when that chunk of time that you were gone, we all sub for each other, and one guy will be here one day, another guy. We're not, you know, we don't do it constantly, but we do it all the time.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there'll be somebody missing.
For example, if Oscar comes up with a flimsy excuse that he can't be in, we'll fill
in. Yeah, because he's partying down in Charleston.
Exactly.
Oscar will be here tomorrow for the bonus show. Taping, by the way, program note, 9 a.m. taping time tomorrow.
Perfect.
Our apologies for all this jumping around. That's me. That's my fault. We're going to get that straightened out in the next week or two, so stand by for that. We will go to our regular summer
taping.
Dust
will settle, yes.
Which will be 3 p.m. Eastern time. So getting back to, I remember, and maybe you can help me out with this, that there was a time, I believe it was back in the radio incarnation of my show. This is after Don and Mike, where you came in to me on a day, because we would always chat.
Yeah.
And we would always, one of the things, and this is no slam against the previous administration or anything like that, but what happened when it was my show, that we would interact a lot. You and I would interact a lot more than we had previously.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we would talk about what's going on. And you had come in, this is over 10 years ago.
Yeah,
well,
a long
over
time
10
ago.
Years ago. Mm-hmm. That you had come in and made a very brief comment about like liver scores or something. I remember
you had talked about it.
This would have been what year? Do you have any idea what year this might have been? I mean, you've been going through your history.
2009 maybe, something
right
like that.
Right around 9, right before we got the boot, right?
Yeah, right around there. And so it was, the diagnosis was fatty liver, and this is fairly common. The doctor said, you know, it's not a great thing. It's not going to kill you on its own. Take vitamin E, and you'd take a massive dose of vitamin E, and I did every day for a long time. But fatty liver has to do with alcohol and sugar. And because, I mean, too much sugar will bring it on, is from my understanding, but also alcohol, as you know, metabolizes to sugar. But I think in my head, I thought, well, you know, he probably told me to slack off on the drinking. And I said, yeah, but he also said, take a lot of vitamin E. I said, I'll take the second door, Monty. I like taking the pill and not altering the way I do. And so maybe.
Do you have a memory? And let me stop you there, because I'm curious about this. Did at that time. And what I'm getting to here is, do you think there was a time where you really, you heard that, and he might have been heavier about the drinking thing, because you had mentioned something about drinking, to me, with that, but it was like a throwaway, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in your late 30s, early 40s,
young guy, and indestructible.
I didn't even process it that way, but. Do you look back on that as a moment that, man, I should have paid more attention to what?
Oh,
and
yeah.
were there further reminders along the way? Because I know a lot of people are curious, myself included.
I don't remember that, because he was a specialist that found that, so a GP wouldn't be checking for that. And I don't think it comes up on...
What, you said he was a specialist?
The guy that told me the fatty liver, yeah.
Why did you go to a specialist in the first place?
Because of the colitis. The ulcerative colitis.
I remember you had that. Okay.
And I don't know why we all had stomach issues, but there seemed a time that we all did. And so I went and...
I think you get every doctor in the world that would say that wasn't stress-induced, but...
No.
we worked in a...
Pressure cooker.
It was, and it didn't need to be. Mm-hmm. It was, and it was difficult. And Don would admit this, I'm sure. I mean, he's, you know, I think he would. I mean, it was just difficult, and it was tense, and there was a lot of anger, and there were a lot of things going on.
Well, there was a lot of things going on. This is after we came back, after, and I wasn't able to talk. I wasn't talking about it on the air. After Frieda passed, and we came back, and we were isolated in that studio in Rockville, which was a weird environment for radio guys anyway.
It was a difficult environment prior to her passing that got more tense after that.
And also, it needs to be mentioned, that's exactly when I found out about Robert's leukemia diagnosis.
I remember, well, when you talk about drinking, I remember we didn't do a show when that happened.
Yeah.
I was covering for Don during that time, and it was just, you know, towards the end of our run, if you look at the front end and the back end, you know, a lot more fun and wildness and joy at the beginning than there was at the end. And
but you know, it wore us out
a lot.
It does wear you out. And as they say, it is what it is, and things are it's a different mood now, and it's a mood that I very much enjoy. But
do you think when you talked about health issues and you talked about, I know that I don't blame my lifestyle on anything other than my lifestyle. I started it, as you probably did, in earnest in college, where, you know, Friday nights, Tuesday nights, Monday nights.
I did wait till I was 21. Yeah. I was never an underage drinker, but yeah, I caught up. Yeah,
I was. So but you started in college when you look back on it. And then you get the colitis. Buzz had diverticulitis. I had diverticulitis. We had stomach issues. It was weird.
Yeah.
We all three of us that worked on the Don and Mike show. So you get this, and then afterwards you say, okay, and you emphasize the vitamin as opposed to lifestyle. Now, I felt
good. You know, that's the thing. Doctors know stuff before it manifests in you feeling rotten. And you can't always wait for that if they tell you something. And we talked about this when I first was going through this a month and a half ago. In retrospect, you feel so stupid for not listening. And you're ashamed because you should have listened. But there's no reason to be ashamed as long as, I mean, every day gives you a chance to right your ship and do it better. I wish I had. Thank God my doctor has not chastised me and yelled at me for being so stupid. He's encouraging me now for making the turn right now.
And I look at that situation as that's a good doctor, but that's what any decent doctor would do. Because
I don't
think
a doctor in the 1940s would have done it.
Well, I think in the 1940s, they probably would have given you a cigarette and said,
yeah, exactly,
scotch.
Exactly.
But when I'm talking about your warning, then that was the last real, hey,
yeah,
watch out.
Watch
this
it,
is a red flag. Mm. You do this. You choose to do the vitamin E, and then you go. When you started the ritual, was this from as long as you know I've known you, or we've known each other? We have known each other for 30 years. We have worked together for 30 years.
True.
So was it prior to that that you started the going home and doing that?
No, because
nightly?
I think I turned 21 when I knew you, right at the very beginning.
Right.
So, but it, you know, and it started, you know, I can remember coming home when I had just turned 21 with a six pack and my mom looking at me saying, "Oh, look who bought his own beer," because, you know, it was still a novel thing. But by the time I had gotten married and that's when it was really a ritual. It just,
so
you know,
when you got married back then,
and maybe
you'd
a
come
little
home
before,
and have,
yeah. Yeah.
And it would be an evening of beer, right?
Yeah,
usually beer. That's
usually
what
beer. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you experiment, you move on. I've had my wine times. I discovered the old fashioned, which I sort of mastered. And then I liked, in the summertime, I found a vodka and lemonade. And I'm like, oh, this is so pleasant. And what I didn't realize is not only was I killing myself, I was eating a tremendous amount of sugar in every drink. I mean, not just the alcoholic sugar, but the sugar in the lemonade and all of that. It couldn't be
was
any worse for you.
Was that at the end, towards the end of your drinking, that was your go-to?
Yeah.
Super sweet, easy to consume, and get you just wrecked.
Oh, wrecked
night.
In a second. Yeah. Easy to do. And I mean, because like, for example, to make a proper old-fashioned, you can get just as wrecked, but to make one, there's a procedure that goes into it. There's muddling and squeezing and slicing and all this stuff. And that's
not just throwing lemonade and vodka in a glass.
No, I mean, and I got an automatic ice maker. I tell you what, it's easy. And so, you know, that's what. And there's also the whole tolerance issue at play where, you know, one or two drinks probably didn't get me where it used to. And so then you have the third or another.
I've heard both. You know what? I've heard both, Rob. When I hear people talk about, you know, drinking, and for everybody who's listening out there, if this is helping you kind of zero in on things, I hope it is. I'm more doing this for my sake and for Rob's sake to just, you know, really get into, you know, what the whole situation is. And so that at the end was, my knowledge of alcohol, and I owned a bar, would be that lemonade and vodka, there's just no better way to mask the flavor of alcohol and just drink it like you're not drinking anything.
Yeah, like you're drinking lemonade.
To do that. And so that was what you were drinking at the end on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It was.
I see you now. You don't like to even talk about it because I can see it kind of bugs you.
It does.
About it, right?
I mean, again,
tell me why that is. Why is that? Why does it bother you?
Because
this is the first time you've been handling this, and I see the pain on your face with that when you because
it's shameful and it's lazy and it takes all the sort of. I mean, I understand that we live in a culture based on drinking. Watch any TV show.
Why do you say lazy? I'm curious about
because
that.
I mean, it's, well, what are you gonna have to drink tonight? Tonight I'm just gonna, you know, lemonade, vodka, and ice. Duh. And there's nothing fancy about it. There's nothing celebratory about it. There's nothing delightful about it. Like, I mean, for someone that makes a beautiful cocktail occasionally or has a fine glass of wine or a really nice champagne, that's really something. That's very, very nice. I was just, it's.
You created a rapid alcohol delivery system.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, I don't know that I could have done it. You can't do it with beer because by the time you get to the place where you're at with the vodka, beer fills you up. You know, there's only a limit to how far you can go.
Is that the way you intellectualized it? Did you process it that way where you said,
maybe.
Hey, I'm getting all bloated and I'm not getting the kick I need here.
Again, it's shameful, and I don't like looking back on it.
I'm going to give you look. I'm not trying to do that, and I don't want you to say that.
No, and it's not at all. And this is something I've addressed. Again, every day I look at Facebook memories, and I'm shocked at how much of them are based on a comment regarding alcohol.
Imagine all three of us would have a lot of that in our background. I mean, look, from people from their 40s, 30s, 20s, all the way through, a lot of people do that. A lot of people, the celebration comes out, the cooler comes out, the beer comes out, the vodka comes out. It happens, and, you know, there are people that I have been with that have given it up, and it really does change their life, and it's something that we've had a lot of fun. But unfortunately, sometimes but shameful, you know, it's not like you're an island. It's not like you were the only one doing it. But in a way, Rob, the fact that you did not behave shamefully out in front of your family, because you didn't, you'd go down and hide in your basement and you'd not come back down there. I'll get to that in a second. But when you talk about shameful, hear me out when I discuss this.
All right.
Because listen, you're talking to the last guy in the world who's going to preach about alcohol use.
Right.
But the difference was, how many stories would I come into work with talking about alcohol where I had to do a full-fledged apology tour?
It was almost an annual thing, yeah.
My behavior, I would behave like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I would be in a situation where You know, it was it not only feeling horrible after doing that, but emotionally feeling that bankruptcy. And if this is a spiel about how the demon alcohol, let it be. I don't give a rat's ass about that. That in a way, Rob, that would, you know, to a degree push me away. There was a year that I didn't drink because of that type of thing. I still, if I have an adult beverage, I'm still worried about it. I'm not wary. I'm worried because I feel in a moment's notice that that switch could flip and suddenly, you know, I'm terrified of that. But in a small way, I've had many drinks with you.
Yes,
and you were never a jerk. Ever. You would never approach it. You would get funny and then you'd fall down at a Christmas party. Was there any time in your memory where you, because of drinking, turned into a complete jerk?
No, I don't think so. I'm not a belligerent drunk. I'm a very happy drunk.
And that in and of itself, that was another reason where it's kind of under the radar. It's like, because no one's going to come to you and say, Rob, Friday night at that party, I had that happen. I had that happen multiple times.
Sure.
And it was, so I'm taking a few more breaks during that period of time. You didn't have any of that.
No.
You were able to kind of slide down there and do it under the radar. Do you think that to a degree that was a factor too? Because you could kind of, you could keep it out of sight and out of mind, right?
It was also never hidden. You know, it wasn't like, I never was like, trying to fool the kids or my wife that I'm not drinking. They knew, but then, I mean, they'd seen it their whole life. So,
but you would not finish your vodkas and lemonades and stumble to bed, right? I mean, that didn't happen, or did it? I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure there were a few nights that, you know, I'd probably overdid it, but it's not like I ever found myself in the hallway or anything like that. You know,
but
that's
a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are people that can't stop when they start.
Yeah. So.
Third
location, Mike.
Yeah, the third location.
Evil. Yeah, it is. When you say a bankruptcy, that's a good word for it. And when you look back on it, the thing that troubles me that keeps coming into my head is that it took the fear of God to make me quit. It took a guy in an emergency room saying, well, first off, if you keep drinking, you're going to die. I mean, that was his initial diagnosis. And that's pretty cut
and dry. So the ER doctor that said this to you.
And I said, well, and I looked at Carrie, I said, we're done. That's it. And knowing that I had the ability to stop all along, that's what's shameful to me. I had been warned, I'm overweight. It's bad for you. There's nothing plus about it. You're overdoing it. You're doing it every night. All you need to do is quit. And I never did. That's where I feel a little shame. I do feel pride, and I'll tell you that just real quick, that I was able to turn so fast and alter my lifestyle without skipping a beat, not miss the alcohol, eat better, take a little bit care of myself. And after 6 weeks, I feel better. And so I'm very proud of
here.
That.
Let's stop here because I want to ask about that. And I want to ask about the family. And I want to ask about, any underlying reasons and the psychology of it and everything else. And then, we'll skip the news segment and move it to the next break.
Okay.
We're going to take a break right now, continue with this because we really haven't touched on it. And thank you for your honesty about this.
Thank you for letting me get it off my chest. It's helpful. It is helpful.
Help a lot of people. We will be back with more of Rob's saga and the head side of it, the psychology of it, all of that. We'll discuss more of this when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is your summer to win absolutely nothing from TMOS.
No power Porsche.
No trips to sketchy mid-level theme parks.
No REO Speedwagon tickets.
You get nothing.
Nothing to fill out, nothing to enter.
I mean, Zed Bagel Zippy.
You got nothing.
You're already a winner by listening and watching the Mike O'Mara Show on YouTube, Facebook Live, or TikTok. And listening through Stitcher, Spotify, Alexa, or subscribing to the TMOS Bonus Show.
It's the official start of a no-bummer summer on TMOS. Keep listening to win, you
guys. I said good day.
Hey, boys, we get them first. I saw that promo first on Facebook today. All right.
Let's have him first. Summer.
Let's have him first on the Mike O'Mara show. But, well, they didn't want him. I don't care. Let me know. Just fix it. Back to the Mike O'Mara. Fix it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Sleep Number. Here is a question. Do you have a consistent bedtime? Studies show having a consistent bedtime and wake time helps improve your sleep quality. Sleep Number smart bed owners who use their smart bed circadian rhythm feature improve their bedtime and wake time consistency by 35 minutes for better quality sleep. Consistent sleep patterns have a positive impact on our overall sleep quality. It can help regulate metabolism, boost immunity, and increase your resistance to adverse health effects. So, try to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. Create a relaxing bedtime routine at least 20 minutes before you plan to close your eyes. And an hour before bedtime, put down your phone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hard for a lot
of
people.
That blue light.
My best of all advice, be like me. Get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else because a great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number setting is now a 65. Carla remains at a 65. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. We're doing a big dive on Rob's situation here. Just to update you, Rob's doing much, much better, and we are so thrilled that he came back to work full-time this week, from home at least, and we are just really, really excited about that. Tuesday, you will meet with another specialist, kind
yes.
of the last piece of this puzzle to give you your roadmap.
To know exactly where I stand now and where I'm headed, and that, again, I'm cautiously optimistic. But to say I'm without fear or nerves would be wrong. I really want to get this. I'm at a point now where I took an exam and I felt like I did good, but I haven't gotten the grade yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just want the answer.
Totally. Good analogy. Really, yeah. Really good analogy. I want to talk about the psychology of your world with doing this, because I think, it was referred to with me. Multiple times in my life when I've gone to talk to people, professional
right.
people that I've done multiple times in my life, as when someone drinks, they're self-medicating. They're medicating for depression. They're medicating mm-hmm. for sadness. They're filling a void, some kind of void in their life with alcohol. As you look back on this, was that the case? Did you feel as though, hey, I just, there's got to be something there, Rob? And have you even given it any thought as far as what
I
was
think
going
that
on?
There were days that when I got home, I felt like I needed a drink instead I wanted a drink.
Okay.
It was not consistent, but a bad day at work, they happen. Not as much as they used to, but they happen.
Right.
You screw something up. You got stress on your mind with your kids or something like that. You miss your kids. They're out of the house. And I guess I don't know. That's another thing that is I've been reflecting on, is that I really, my life wants for very little. I've got a pretty great life. I don't know that I was trying to fill any emptiness. I don't know. But
do you ever think that when it comes to sorting things out psychologically on where you got how you got here and how you got to this health crisis, do you think in terms of, I have no problem because I believe in you with that as far as kicking the booze, I really
yeah,
do.
Thank you.
But perhaps that maybe talking to a professional would help in the other area to find out what's in there and what's because there's obviously, when somebody drinks like that, there's something going on. I think we all have our demons and we all have our issues. And, I know that you're a pleaser. You hate conflict. You probably hate the idea of doing a deep dive on stuff like that. And I'm just curious if it's ever, has it entered your mind since you went through everything you're going through?
It hasn't, although so many people have suggested it. Where I'm at right now is that once dust settles medically and I know where I stand, I'm not totally opposed to it, but I think I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, I'm in a real positive sort of place right now. I feel better about, I feel better, period. I feel better. I'm proud of myself from what I've done when I can sort of, I'm a big, and it goes way, way back in my life. I'm a big compartmentalizer of feelings. Yeah. So I can, you know, do things when Rome is burning. I can put that aside for 2 hours and do whatever we need to do, right?
You mean so, are you talking about the show?
Like I could feel
rotten. That's the show. That's the show. I'm talking about your life in general.
Yeah.
You know, with that. And what we'll it'll dovetail into the next question. How is your family doing with this? How is your wife doing? How are your kids doing? And what kind of, as much as you care to, what kind of conversations have been have gone forward in your world?
Carrie has been an absolute angel through all this as far as coordinating stuff, but also she is so quick to tell me that she's proud of me. She knows how hard it's been, that it's a large change, and that, you know, she is right there with me. She's out there making sure we got the right groceries in the house so I can eat right, to be with me as we plan what we should eat, what we should do, saying, did you walk today? Stuff like that. She has been really good. The kids are elsewhere, but they check in on me. I think they're proud of me. I had a great weekend with Julia, last weekend. And she said, Dad, you look great. You seem like you're doing good. You seem like your old self. Talked to Robert. Robert visited me in the hospital, and that was as heartwarming as it is. I hate hospitals, and some of the worst times of my life has been visiting my loved ones in the hospital. And he wanted to come visit me, and the last thing you want to see is your dad, me, with a gown and 50 wires coming out of him and beep, beep, beep and all that. And he kept a stiff upper lip. And I mean, he was very, you know, cool. It was great to see him. But I can remember going, I visited my mom in the hospital at times, my dad, my grandparents. It's so hard.
What's the worst?
To see someone not at their best. Yeah.
You lived it. You know, watching your father pass away.
Yeah.
And I've experienced it myself, both with my mom and my dad. And it's a terrible situation when you go forward with this. How about
Carrie
your mom
did
and
tell
dad?
Me, Carrie did tell me after the fact, she said, you know, this is certainly for the best. You know, the kids had told me they think you might. Do you think Dad drinks too much?
So it did come up. It did come up with them,
but never to me until after the fact. So you know that's something that I should have addressed.
Did they do this? Did they bring this up when they were living in the house, or was this after they had gone away?
When they read the police blotter. No, it was. I think it was after they moved out, I believe. But I mean, again, they spoke to Carrie, not me, so I can't really nail it down. But that's another thing, is that you don't want, I mean, setting a good example is one thing, but you certainly don't want them worried about you. That's like two steps in the wrong direction. If they think you're drinking too much, that's no good. So, I mean, that's another factor that makes it easier to say we're done with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And it's, you know, it's more difficult for people that there's so many levels of this. There's so many different people that react differently to alcohol. There are so many people that it's a massive part of their life.
Well, I'm lucky. I mean, it should be restated in case people didn't hear. When they first admitted me to the hospital, they asked me if I had any episodes of blacking out or seizures, to a point where they took, like, they were looking in my eyes for yellowing. They asked me to hold my hand out to see if I could do it with, they said, you haven't had a drink in 2 days. Can you hold your hand out, please? To see if I would be literally shaking from not having anything to drink. So,
I haven't had a drink since this past weekend, so I'll hold up my hand. Now, the other one's better.
We have a room for you, Miss Hepburn.
Yeah, by the way, these talons, they're turning into talons. Anywho, so with mom and dad, with the obviously you drink a lot with your old man when you get together.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's part of your life that you have.
Yeah.
I know in my Irish family, we'd always have cocktails with the parents and stuff like that.
Few greater things than having a nice cold beer with your dad. I mean, that's a cool thing.
What about your mom? What was her? She was the one that was up here and was living it and, you know, dealing with you and getting you doctor's appointments and doing all that.
Helping out with that. My mom is I would call her also a ritualistic drinker, but okay. not to the extent I did. She's white wine and she's Miller Lite. Has been Miller Lite since I was a little boy. That's just her drink.
Okay.
And so
I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
That's
and so she'll have a beer or two. But now I think mostly if she's like just, you know, in the evening, she'll have a glass, maybe a glass and a half of wine. But if she's out, if it's like Thanksgiving or something, I always have Miller Lite for her and she goes for it. And
but what about her reaction to what you were going through?
She was she was a mom. She's very supportive. She didn't say, you know, she's not going to say, I told you so, or I wondered about that. She just said, what are your scores? Your doctors are great.
Because I was a nurse, she was able to do that because I know.
Not a nurse, but she works with the doctors. She
works in the medical environment.
Yeah. She, well, what's so
my
great.
My mom would have probably said, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, that.
She was so great that she's also very pragmatic and, you know, get things done. When I got admitted to the hospital that she works on the campus for scheduling and stuff like that, she was telling me which doctors were good, which doctors were bad. This is good. This is bad. She was a total beam of optimism the whole time because I was never sugarcoated what my results were or where I was at. But she was, you know, she would say, you know, you can do this. This is not going to be as bad as you think. Wait until they get what her standing thing is. And she's echoing it right back at me because she just had hip replacement. And she kept saying, it sucks now, but when you get to the end of this tunnel, you're going to feel so much better. And I'd say, I can't stand being tired all the time. She says, I know it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Just stay the course. She's a cheerleader.
Pony, let's take a break. We're going to do one more here because I want to wrap this up a little bit and talk about you know, where your head was at and now the way you look to the future. We're doing this, obviously, with the big news coming this Tuesday.
Right.
When you get your grade and find out what's going on. But we'll wrap this up with the Mike O'Mara Show with Rob when we come back.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered.
Absolutely.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Bob. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Mortgage rates have now hit 5% for the first time in a decade in what will probably be the new floor moving forward. So, what does that mean for you? Well, it means that if you're purchasing a new home or looking to consolidate debt, it's more important than ever to work with a team that you can trust. Take my advice and call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Today, limited supply and high demand dictates you work with a company that can absolutely make sure you are the best prospect to a potential seller. And that's what Mark and his team can do for you. No two scenarios are the same, and you need a company that will get down to the nitty-gritty of your specific situation, whether a purchase or refinance. Plus, with their no-obligation rate quote, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. Why would you call anyone else? Answer me that. Answer me!
Yeah, Pony. You know, shut up, Pony.
Whether yes, a purchase sir. Or refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial, the number one choice of TMOS and all of our listeners. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Thank you, Cornerstone First Financial. Thank you, thank you, thank you
good
for
folks.
Supporting this show for as long as you have. We're talking to Rob about the emotional side and the psychological side.
And Mike, I just got it. We're blowing up social media. They say this is the funniest show we've ever done.
I wanted to do this for a long time.
I know, and you're very sweet to do
it. I wanted to talk to you about you and your
head. It helps me get my head straight. It really does.
I think that it's, I can tell you that when we got into it, you go into a mode in this business of show where it's, how do you keep the show going on? And Oscar and I both went into that immediately. And then as the dust settled from that shock, that horrible shock, I know for Oscar and I know for me, that's when the malaise set in a little bit. Then when you came back, specifically when you came back full time this week, that's how long I've had to wait. That's when it came back to me. Oh, I missed that. I missed that. I missed that. I missed that. So from a standpoint of you not being on the show, this has been a good thing for me to remember the actual process and what we do together and how much fun we have doing that.
Oh, it's a blast. And it's so good to be back.
I mean, look, Oscar is, I think, a brilliant businessman. He is a brilliant broadcaster for bringing forth honesty and his exposing his life and his feelings. Oscar's a terrible audience. But I say that he will laugh occasionally when it's genuine, but you are my best audience, as I was a great audience for Don. So,
yes.
We both enjoyed the shtick of the person we're working with. I want to wrap this up by saying we're going to go back to the beginning of this. I guess I'll ask the same kind of question. When was your darkest moment, and what was your scariest moment?
The darkest moment was probably the scariest moment. I'll answer the second part first.
It's not an easy question. I just I'm doing it as I go here.
Was that Wednesday night or whatever the night was that I left work with the headache and came home and laid down for a while, and I woke up and two times within a couple minutes threw up blood. And that is knowing that I had barely eaten because I had not felt, I was not a big daytime eater anyway. And to wake up from a nap and to vomit blood twice, that
terrifying.
Was terrifying, unexplained, and really going into it, other than years and years of bad living, that's sort of a subtle lead up to it. The only symptom per se I had was a headache. And to go
from
headache.
Did you have any leading up to that? Did you have any clue at all?
No.
This was going on in your insides?
No. I mean, I felt like I usually feel, except I had a headache. I remember.
You know, it's funny because we're conditioned, Rob, with every movie we've seen for 50 years of, the handkerchief with the blood on it when you're coughing. You know what I mean? Something, blood coming from inside
terrifying.
I can't imagine how just absolutely paralyzed.
And it wasn't the kind of I think I'm going to be sick. I walk to the bathroom, prepare it and get sick. The first time I threw up, it was like an exorcist involuntary vomit. It was blah. Carrie gave me two ibuprofen or whatever, and I went to take a sip of water, and it just happened. And it was as if you ever see a video
she didn't give you that after you vomited blood, did she? Right? She didn't give you the aspirin-based product after you vomited blood, did she?
No, but if you ever
then
see...
I would call a detective if that's the case.
If you see a YouTube video or something of sometimes a baby will burp and surprise itself.
Oh, it's like... Argh!
Yeah, that's how I felt because I totally didn't see it coming. And I mean, immediately your whole mind, your whole mindset has to shift. What am I going to do? And how are we going to deal with this? And should I lay down and maybe I'll be better tomorrow? I don't know. Thank God we didn't do that because I was losing blood at a pretty crazy rate and they were able to stop that and give me blood to get myself in a healthy way. I'd say the darkest moment was the fact that I was, when I got to the, there's nothing more cheerful than an emergency room at about 2 a.m. And I was, you know, it was late at night with the, at the stupid emergency, the minute clinic or whatever, the urgent care. And then they say, what you've got needs to be looked at. I suggest you go to the hospital. Let's run a quick cardio on you to make sure that you don't have to call an ambulance. I thought, that's all I need at this point. So I passed that, aces. And so Carrie and I drove to the hospital, not far. And they said, there's just so much going on. We're going to get you a room as soon as possible. But until then, just stay here. And so I'm in a darkened room. It's not even a room. It's curtains. And Carrie's sitting next to me.
You're back in the ER.
I've been admitted to the ER.
Okay.
And laying there, and they've put me in the gown, sexy. And every half hour or so, another medical professional comes by to tell me some bad news. You know, it's just like, well, there's blood here. It looks like internal bleeding. You are severely dehydrated. You are anemic, like you wouldn't believe, and just more and more bad
news. One after the other.
Yeah.
So it's cumulative.
Yeah. And they're not offering any sort of, you know, this is how we're going to fix it. They're just telling me where I'm at. Then a nurse comes in and, you know, it's a male nurse. And he says, are you, and I forget, is it Friends of Charlie, Friends of Bob, whatever the code is for AA. And he says, you know, I've been a friend for, I'm, you know, sober for 8 years and you really should look into that.
So they know right away people are guessing what this.
And I mean, and the whole thing. And then when the guy comes in and he says, well, we're not exactly sure what's going on. Your blood sugar is crazy. There is internal bleeding. You're anemic. And if you don't stop drinking, you're going to die. We'll get
somebody
you a room.
Somebody said that to you early on in the process.
In the ER. In the ER.
And that was the low.
That was the low. And then he follows it up with, and we're going to try to get you into a room in a couple hours. And it's like, oh, you know, I didn't expect to go home, but I don't want to be there. And there's no way to relax. There's no way to fall asleep. You're so keyed up. You're exhausted, but you're
terrified.
You're terrified. You don't know what's going on. It's the middle of the night, so I can't call anybody and let them know what's going on. Carrie's with me, but it's not like we can text or call anybody. It's 2 a.m. And that's when, you know, I had Carrie there, which was great. And we are a great unit together and we got through it. But the two of us together as one felt very alone because there wasn't a chance yet for people to reach out. And I've never felt unloved. I've never felt disliked. But the outpouring on social and email and text and phone calls was so overwhelming over the next few days that really did help. But there was just none of it that night. It was me and Carrie, and they're bandying around the word death. And that was pretty dark. Oh, you can't even be comfortable. Wow. You can't be comfortable.
Wow. I mean, that's the part we didn't get when we were getting your scores and doing all of that. And
they took good care of me at the hospital. Ultimately, I was there, I guess, 5 days. And as you know, they sent me home with a walker and a binder of instructions. And I didn't know. Just stupid things. Screwing up giving my injection to myself, my insulin injection, because you want to get it right. And it's almost DJ proof. It's so stupidly easy. It is like, you know, when they give a broadcast piece of equipment to a disc jockey and it has connect, and that's the only button on it. That's what this pen is like.
How did
with
you
the
screw
insulin?
It up?
I knocked the button and I'm just looking and insulin is squirting across the room. I said, 9 units. That's like $16.
Oh my
Come
God.
Back.
It's so expensive.
It's
oh
so, but you God. Feel, and then, you know, taking your blood sugar and trying to figure out where you're at and not knowing like little variants, like, you want to do this now, and if you do this right before taking my blood pressure, don't take your blood pressure right after you walk, because you're going to come up like the blood pressure of a corpse because your body's regulating. And one time, you know, I look at my blood sugar, it was like 320. And I'm like, well, that's not good. That's 200 in the wrong direction. And my dad said, and I've said this, my dad said, did you have caffeine? I said, yeah, a couple of cups of coffee was Splenda. He says, caffeine totally messes with your blood sugar. And I'm like, oh, okay. Might have been nice if someone had mentioned that, because I really thought that I'm about to ring up 911 when you see that number. Because as they say, you know, as it gets in the 400s, it starts to actually attack your body. So little things like that you have to grow accustomed to. Now it's very much part of my day. I'd like to eventually get the diabetes under control where I could maybe control it without taking a shot. But that's the fact that it's under control, and that my blood sugar is usually now between 100 and 120 throughout the day is insanity to me. That's crazy. Because when I went to the hospital feeling, you know, not anything to do with my pancreas or anything with my diet, it was my liver and the bleeding. My blood, they say, okay, blood sugar 300. That's stupid. You should never have, it's just dumb. And now that's under control. Things are slowly coming into control. I have more control over what I'm doing. The one thing, I don't miss the alcohol. I miss food. Just, I mean, I can cook well and healthy, but I got to watch my portions. I mean, I can't go and have 16 ounces of the delightful salmon that I made, the herb-crusted salmon, which is delicious, but you got to keep it to a reasonable portion. Or, you know, your body has to, I mean, all that stuff has to be worked out and modified, and you got to learn it.
You know, you're preaching to the choir with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I certainly understand that part. With that, where would you say, how would you characterize your state of mind now? You're a few days away from your specialist, your liver specialist. This is not the complete end yet, but we've gotten some great. What's your state of mind right now?
I am more optimistic today than I have been since the whole thing started, and I've had some pretty good benchmarks all along. Like the first one was, I never got into the range where they start planning for a liver transplant. This is just based, again, and I got to restate this, so forgive me if I repeat. This is just based on blood panels. This is not actual examination of the liver. But things are pointing in the fact that that was the first one. Then the other panels coming down and then coming down again. The blood pressure regulating, the blood sugar regulating. The fact that I can get out and walk now where I couldn't just 3 weeks ago is huge. I feel better. I've lost a stupid amount of weight.
What's your total weight loss now?
65 pounds this morning.
Oh my god. And that's like when you went on that program that we got paid for.
But here's what I hate. How can you lose 65 pounds and still be fat? I hate it. I'm gonna be fat, but
you're gonna be skinny fat.
I will be skinny fat, but
right.
And there's the optimism of the fact that everything seems to be pointing better. Again, cautiously optimistic, but my frame of mind is excellent. Also, I'm proud that with the assistance of everybody around me and the support, and this goes to Oscar and you, who never said boo as far as my scheduling and all that stuff. It was never, never even in the back of my mind. It was always when I said, like, can I come in and do Tuesday this week? It was like, we'd love to have you. Not like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, Tuesday through Friday would be better. It was never that. It was Pony who picked up all the slack on the production. I just knew that with you guys there, everything was under control and I didn't have to focus on that. So that made me feel good and optimistic. And the mental boost of being able to come in and do the show each day is huge, because it gives me a creative
outlet. I listen to you every day, and I'm a dialectician. I study the voice.
Right.
Pay attention to it. And I love to hear that. We've got, some more hurdles to go, and yeah. I think you're going to do well. And the last thing
I want to say is, and this is probably not the most becoming thing to say, that optimism is coupled with pride. I'm proud that between Carrie and me and you guys, I've gotten to this point in a relatively brief amount of time. I know that my doctor said that we want to get you to this point like within 6 months, and we did it in 6 weeks. So A, that speaks to the fact that I've got this great support and I'm sticking to it, but it also speaks to the fact that, hey, maybe with all the bad things that led up to it, we might have caught it at a pretty good time. That's what I can hope.
Everybody in the audience is going to pray for that, and I pray for that. And we had a private chat when I left you alone. I would text you, and
yeah,
I would text Carrie, and then when I was able to say, I was just so happy. I think it was last week or the week before, where you got some great news, and
yeah,
finally, I didn't feel like I was invading your privacy to call you with that and let you know.
It was great. Ever it was forward. So nice. Yes.
And I think that I'm excited, and I'm also optimistic. Your optimism is contagious. And, you know, it's just something that I think everybody was curious about. That we're a family with the people that listen to this show and the people that work on this show. And so I think people wanted to hear what was up here, as opposed to just scores and where you were.
Yeah,
and
it's a
little
definite
more work to do on that, and I'm excited to.
At least half of it. And I just got to say this again, folks. I ignored these signs for so long. If you see this, if your doctor asks you to get a test, if your doctor is pestering you for a checkup, if he wants you to do something, do it. You can do it. You can absolutely do it. And the quicker you do it, the easier it's going to be. So don't ignore it, and don't think you're bigger than the medical community. Don't think your body is going to somehow correct itself. There's no shame in going in and saying, hey, I need help with this. Amen. So please do it. Please do it. I wouldn't wish my last 6 weeks on anybody.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was really enlightening, and really, thanks for sharing that. It was wonderful.
It feels good to talk.
We got some news coming up, the homepage coming up next, then followed right away by Soundtown.
Soundtown!
We'll get as much as we can in here. We'll take a break, come back more with the Mike O'Mara right after this. Mike O'Mara Show. Duh.
Dennis Murphy came around Pondville Media and tried to break into broadcasting, but his natural speech proved to be a huge obstacle. Then one day, he would later tell his biographer, the voice of God told him to take diction lessons, and his whole life changed.
Hark! I hear the cannons roar. Is it the king approaching?
Hark! I hear the cannons roar.
Good audio.
Is it the king approaching?
Dennis practiced faithfully for many months, and through diligence and perseverance, it was only a question
that's
of time
audio.
Before
the
he
motto's
emerged
audio.
A major
yeah,
star.
That's Pittsburgh audio.
Good evening, and cheers to you all out there. Welcome to Murphy's Musings. I'm Dennis Murphy. Our broadcast is sponsored this evening by the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Frightfully witty, uncensored content every week. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and purchase a subscription so you never miss a minute of the fun.
Haley. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Titan. Let's face it, investing in the stock market seems exciting, but it's scary
yes.
for a new investor. That's why you've got to check out Titan. As everyday investors, we get access to a marketplace of stocks, but we're competing against institutional investors. We don't have access to experts, multiple portfolios, or investment vehicles. With Titan, you have a personal investment team to research and invest for you so that you can aim to outperform the market. With Titan, all it takes is $100 to start, deposit your money, select one of their portfolios, and that's it, people.
That's it.
Titan aims to grow your investments at least 15% annually net of fees, which could mean doubling your wealth every 5 years. I have not had a chance to try Titan yet. We're working on that, but it sounds pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
Check out Titan if you want to aim to be the smartest, wealthiest investor you've ever been. Hit up titan.com/TMOS to get $50 when you invest with Titan. You must go to this URL or you will not get that $50, and they won't know that we sent you. That's $50 when you go to titan.com/TMOS and invest with Titan. This is a paid partnership with Titan, and at the time of publication, I am not yet invested in Titan strategies. That's Titan. We welcome them to the show.
Good
and
folks.
It's wonderful to have them on.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. Amber Heard took the witness stand yesterday and detailed the first time Johnny Depp allegedly hit her. It was over one of his tattoos. When Johnny was dating Winona Ryder, he got a Winona Forever tattoo. After they broke up, he had it changed to Wino Forever.
Yeah, yeah, that's Hollywood lore.
Amber testified that when she first saw the tattoo, she couldn't tell what it said, so she asked Johnny. When he told her, she laughed because she thought he was joking, so he slapped her. Then he did it two more times. According to her, this is a lot of he said, she said in this. She also went into graphic detail about the supposed body cavity search that Johnny subjected her to when he thought that she was hiding his cocaine. God, what a lovely
girl. Wow, that was a lousy Easter.
She described what it was like in the early days when she and Johnny were actually happy. So I'm ready for this to be over.
Not me, Mike. And I want to send a special thanks to all the people of the Fairfax and Washington, D.C. area that are lining up at the courthouse every day at 3 a.m. to get in. They were interviewing them this morning on the TV, and they all said the same thing.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I love Johnny Depp. I love him. I just love Johnny Depp.
By the way, Depp was allowed to sue in Virginia because this is all about a Washington Post op-ed, and the online editions are published through servers located in Fairfax County. I have wondered that. I did a research project on it and figured it out. The Associated Press reports that Heard's lawyers attempted to move the trial to California, but Depp's lawyer said one of the reasons they brought the case to Virginia is the Commonwealth's anti-slap law, S-L-A-P-P. I think that has something to do with slander.
Okay.
Or in Amber's case, maybe something else.
Yeah, maybe they just spelled it wrong.
Yeah, who knows? I just don't know.
Well, I think after he sues her, if he's going to be in this area, he could sue Art Buchwald. He could sue Bob Levy. He could sue all the great people at the Washington Post.
All the great people at the Washington Post, like Art Buchwald, who's dead. Moving right along. Jason Bateman is rewatching Ozark from the beginning. By the way, I know you guys like Ozark, and you hit me to it a long time ago. I'm here to tell you, I love last season. I love it. The most recent season.
I haven't jumped into this current season. Have to wait for Carrie, because Carrie has a big crush on Jason Bateman.
He's cool.
He's very cool.
He's watching. He's watching Ozark now from the beginning with his 15-year-old daughter Francesca. The best part is this is her first time ever seeing him act. In an Ozark cast interview with Entertainment Weekly, Jason said, quote, "She's never seen anything I've done because, you know, if you've got kids, they usually give it up for everybody except you.
True.
It's been weird for her to see me on camera, and I get it. That's not uncommon. For some reason, she's finally decided to watch Ozark." You know, that's the hot show.
Yeah.
So she hasn't even seen the Disney cartoon Zootopia. I guess he was in that.
He Jason was a voice, also, yeah.
Jason also shares a 10-year-old daughter named Maple with his wife, Amanda Anka.
Mabel or Maple?
Maple.
Like the syrup?
It says M-A-P-L-E, unless they screwed it up. If they screwed it up, it's not my fault.
Yeah, she must be Canadian.
Pony, look up Jason Bateman's children.
I'll have two crullers, a chocolate ice, and a maple Bateman.
Amanda Anka, do you think, is that any relation to Paul Anka?
I would think it's possible. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we'll see whether it's maple.
Pony Run is 23andMe.
It's definitely maple.
Maple. All right,
and Francesca.
Thank you, Pony. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their class of 2022 inductees yesterday. In the performers category, Pat Benatar, Duran Duran, Eminem, Eurythmics, Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, and Carly Simon. Yeah. That's one I'm going to watch, folks.
Yeah.
Judas Priest is being inducted, but in a musical excellence category. Same with R&B songwriting and producing duo Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. That's interesting. Harry Belafonte is also included, but in the early influence category, along with folk and blues guitarist Elizabeth Cotton. The ceremony will take place Saturday, November 5th in Los Angeles. Further details will be announced later on their website and social media, and they usually put it on HBO. I hope they do that.
Usually they delay it. I'm really pleased. I mean, I think a lot of them were sort of expected. I'm really glad that Carly Simon is getting in. I love Carly Simon. And
anticipation.
Mike, you probably think this song is about you. That's how vain you are.
Hey, who got to listen to Carly sing him a song in the studio? This guy. Yes, sir.
Oh,
one of the high points
so
of my career.
Cool.
It's World Password Day, when you're supposed to make sure all your passwords really are secure enough.
More like password. What? What?
What? A new poll looked at how we keep track of them, and a lot of us still just rely on memory. Here are the ways we keep track of passwords. Number five, email. 20% like emailing them to ourselves or relying on emails to change them when you forget. Number four, keeping track on your computer. Sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
23% like to do it. Using a password manager. I know a lot of the guys on the show do that.
Yeah.
30% of us do
that. I hired one. His name is Bill.
Hi, Bill. Bill, you're late. Sorry.
Password manager.
I use Dan O'Brien. That's who I use for my manager. Here's old school, writing them down, 32%. A separate survey found 40% of us have used Post-its. I don't know who
really
that,
good.
Well, that's a dumb thing to do. And number one, remembering them. 55% of us do it with at least some of our passwords. Quick more stats. 85% of us use the same password on multiple sites. 24% need to reset their passwords at least twice a week. And over half of us usually use the passwords that are between 9 and 15 characters. So
mine is, I'll reveal it because I don't have a lot of security. It's a capital C, Cirrhosis 71.
Very, very, very exciting, Rob. Thanks for sharing that. You shared so much on today's show.
I'm an open book.
And now a little something something. NASA scientists plan to launch pictures of naked humans into space in the hope of luring aliens to us. By the way, I'll say because I watched it. I don't want anybody doing it tonight. Do not watch Moonfall. I watched it because I love Halle Berry. Do not.
Yeah.
Repeat.
Okay.
Do not watch Moonfall. So the scientists plan to launch pictures of naked humans out there into space. The depictions will also include an invitation to respond should an intelligent alien race find the space nudes. Fortunately, the hypothetical aliens shouldn't be too shocked by the unsolicited nudes. The pictures are not graphic photographs of naked people, but it is a drawing of a naked man and a naked woman next to a depiction of DNA. I guess that little squiggly that
I hope
there.
So.
The men and women are waving in an attempt to look more inviting. NASA did not give details on what they were waving. Am I right, ladies?
Hey, there you go.
All right, we got to take a break.
I was shocked, Mike, to find out that the man they drew was Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard, naked. Naked, naked and hung.
That's right.
Anyway, sorry about that. I probably have to edit that out. We got to take a break. Are we up to the... do I have one more break, or are we up to
we
the...
We have Soundtown.
Soundtown
is next. Soundtown coming up next.
World's shortest Soundtown. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Be right back.
With Howard Beale.
I don't have to do things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a pandemic. You're upset and you're angry and you stare at your podcast player and you say, please don't take my Friday cocktail party or my shopping center or my bonus show or my steel Belgian radials. Luckily, you've got the Michael Berry Show and it's not going anywhere. We know things are bad. Right. Worse than bad.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's a time issue.
Hey, everybody, food that's fast doesn't have to be a fast food thing. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work. Their meals are designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, then delivered fresh to your door. Other meal deliveries need to be prepped and cooked, but Freshly is ready to eat in 3 minutes. No one wants to spend an hour cooking dinner after a rough day at work or an infuriating commute, So skip the grocery shopping and dirty dishes. Your Freshly meals arrive cooked and fresh every week. Use the Freshly website or app to find meals that fit your lifestyle with plans at work that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. Stop rushing, Michael. I love that they're delivered fresh.
Fresh!
And always delicious. The steak peppercorn, amazing, fantastic. What's your go-to now, Oscar? Oh, he's not here.
He likes the meatballs. They're amazing.
Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly offering our listeners $125 off your first five orders when you go to Freshly.com/TMOS. That's $125 off. Freshly.com/TMOS.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound town.
Mike, I know that it's kind of sad doing Cinco de Mayo without our Latin friend here today.
It is. It is. Yeah, maybe he's down in Charleston, you know, having a fantastic time. Who knows?
I do know this. If you really want to piss people off, just insist that it's Mexican Independence Day. That it just,
it's not.
It's not, but it's great to insist it. But I thought it would be great, since Oscar's not here to celebrate, we have our own little celebration with a brand new parody record for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, let me get it ready.
Yeah, mind your explosives, please.
La 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 Cinco de Mayo.
Wow. Wow, that new one's powerful. Very, very powerful.
Did he start that with la la la?
Yeah, yes, he did.
I think try it again. I want to blow it up twice. Okay?
Oh, you do? Okay. Let's take this one from the top, the Cinco de Mayo parody record.
La 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 Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you. Sorry, I know we're running short on time.
Mike, so much to do, so much to do. This is a good, I would have thought this was a Florida story. This is not a Florida story. This is actually takes place in, let me get it right, South Carolina at a Krispy Kreme. What happens if you go through the Krispy Kreme drive-thru and you request a donut that they don't sell? Not necessarily not on the menu, but they don't sell.
Oh, I don't know. What happens?
You go inside and you kick a little ass.
He pushed Lester down. He hit his head. Betty came running out. One of them hit her in the back of the head, and she fell. She has bleeding on her brain still. She has a lot of bruises, a black eye, you know, bruise on her cheek. To hurt another human being over a donut, that's just wild to me.
Yeah, Mike, you don't want to hurt another human being over a donut.
Hey, they're good donuts. Shut up.
They're the best donuts. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. But he probably ordered like a cake donut. That's probably what upset him. They're all glazed and raised.
Maple bacon.
Yeah, I'll have my maple Bateman. Not maple bacon.
We're running out of time. Come on.
All right, let's close with this. This is our Florida story of the day, Mike. An 8-foot gator was spotted in a Florida garage attacking and eating and drinking their cases of Diet Coke.
I open the garage door about a quarter way, peek my head in, and there's the alligator.
You know, the gator starts to back up. Mouth is wide open at this point.
We're getting ready for a party. We have cases of soda and everything else. Diet Coke was spewing everywhere because the gator was interested, tore open the box, had a few cans.
So, Mike, Florida authorities are now on the lookout for a diabetic alligator. So watch out. That's all I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Rob, thanks for that. That was a very, very enlightening episode of the show.
It feels so good to talk about it. Thank you for the forum.
We will have the gang together tomorrow, 9 a.m. taping of the Mike O'Mara bonus show. So if you're not subscribed, please do. We would
Now's
certainly appreciate that.
Yes.
Oscar, safe travels on the way back from Charleston, South Carolina. And thank you for listening today. We'll be back, as I said, 9 a.m. taping tomorrow for the TMOS bonus hour. And tell a friend, tell a neighbor, get that bonus hour. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Ponyboy Matt Bloom, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
When did you first start dreaming of this moment?